Book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, we'll take up the reading at verse 1. First two verses really are the concentration of our message this morning, but we'll read the whole, the entire chapter, verses 1 to 21. Romans chapter 1, reading from Romans chapter 5, reading from verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, and may God add His blessing to that reading of His own word. Let's pray together. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to Thee this morning to worship Thee and to praise Thy name, to thank Thee for the beautiful city of God, dwelling place of God amongst His people. We bless and thank Thee for the salvation, redemption that Thou hast revealed in Christ Jesus the Lord. And we thank Thee that we can come this morning into Thy presence, that we have access to Thy throne room through that precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Here we are in the presence of our Maker God, the One who spoke the universe, the world, and everything into being, and the One who breathed upon the soul of man and made him a living soul. We have life and breath because Thou hast given it to us, and we confess that it is Thine to take away at will. We thank Thee that Thou hast spared us until this time, and we thank Thee that we still have this freedom, this access to the gospel of Thy salvation. The days are short, Thy word says, short to us maybe, short to many, short to this nation, but we thank Thee that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is yet being declared throughout this land and throughout many parts of the world today. And we pray this morning, even this Lord's day, as the gospel is declared, that there may be some gathered in, Lord, to Thy barn. We ask, Heavenly Father, that we ourselves may be found in that day to be wheat, Lord, and not chaff. And we pray, Father, that Lord, as we hear the overtures of Thy love this morning, we pray that our hearts may be drawn to Christ, trust Him, love Him, live for Him, and serve Him. Lord, we want these days in our land, amidst this terrible barrenness, Lord, that we experience, we want, Lord, for Thy Holy Spirit. Surely, Lord, He has gone from us, deserted us, and Lord, it's no more than we deserve, but we pray, Lord, that Thy sweet messenger of rest would return to us, comfort us again, and grant us the blessing, Lord, of Thy salvation to abound within the church and out of it. Thy people, Lord, are bereft of comfort. They are bereft of power to overcome sin. Lord, Thine own sanctuary, Lord, is broken down, and Lord, sin abounds amongst us, and Lord, we are powerless to do anything about it. Unless, Lord, Thou dost come and pour out Thy Spirit upon us, and that most abundantly, graciously. Lord, we ask that question of the Scriptures again and again. Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of power, the God who worked in mighty power, signs and wonders? And Lord, does it not say in Thy word that where the gospel is preached, signs will follow it, even, Lord, the salvation of souls? But we see not this in our day, Lord. We are bereft of such power. Come, Holy Spirit, come, we pray, and baptize Your people in the Holy Spirit. We pray even this very day. We pray not so much for graces as for the Spirit Himself, because we feel, we sense His absence, and we act by our own spirits and in everything. All and everything that we do could be done by a natural man. Give us not weak desires, but the power of His presence, for this is the surest way that we may have known experience all his graces. And when we have the seal, we have the impression also. Lord, he alone can heal and deliver, help, quicken, humble, suddenly and easily, and work grace and life effectually in the souls of men and women. And being eternally, he can give grace eternally, save us from any great hindrances to his working, and save us from being content with just a little measure of thy Spirit, from thinking thou wilt not give us more. Ask and it shall be given, Jesus says. Seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Give us that desire to ask, seek and knock. Cause us to feel our lack of him. Light up our lives and quicken our faith. For when we lose thy Spirit, we are either in the darkness we cannot see, and we are without power. Lord, teach us then what we must do, and help us to humble ourselves. And we pray that thou wouldst stir up our hearts to meditate and to use every and all means to bring thy Spirit amongst us again. And Lord, let us not be contented just simply with the means, the preaching of thy word, Lord. For that is just a means. It's not the end. Salvation of souls is the end. But without thy divine Spirit and divine power, how can this possibly be effected? Lord, help us, we pray the more, to trust him to give us a blessing. And Lord, help us to be depending upon thee only, waiting always for thee, for thy light, for thy power, thy Spirit and thy salvation. So come to us this morning and grant to us, we pray, even a taste, Lord, of thy heavenly love and thy heavenly grace. Leave us not bereft of power, we pray, but come to us, Lord, with the anointing of thy Holy Spirit, and forgive and pardon us our every sin, Lord. We thank thee that there is plenteous redemption with thee, forgiveness that thou mayest be feared. O, forgive, Lord, and grant us even the sense of that forgiveness. Come to us, minister to us, pour thy Spirit out upon us and into us, each one for Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Well, if you turn again to the book of Romans, to Romans chapter 5. Excuse me. Romans chapter 5, and the first two verses really is the focus of our attention this morning. From peace to glory. From peace with God to the glory of God is the pathway of the gospel. Paul says here, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It is faith, and it is faith alone, that brings the many benefits of the gospel, the good news about Jesus, and brings to us also the privileges, the privilege of service, for instance, everything and all that God has for humankind, for us, for we ourselves. It comes to us, it's brought to us through faith and through faith alone in Christ and in Christ alone. These benefits and these privileges of which we read here in Romans chapter 5 this morning, they flow out of a right relationship with God. That is, when peace has been made with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, this is a subject, this is something that we ought to, at the very least, to give us serious thought. Because the peace of God, peace with God rather, is a blessing that is not afforded to many in our land, in our nation, in fact, in our world today. And this is evidenced, of course, by the great trouble, the turmoil that we see the nation, that we see the world in, the violence, the upheaval, wickedness, evil abounds. And peace, of course, is a very precious benefit, a very precious commodity indeed. There are many people, I don't doubt, in our land today who would say in response to this, oh yes, please, that I might find just a measure, just a little peace in my life, in my home, in my own heart maybe. But of course, peace, true peace and lasting peace, everlasting eternal peace, of course, can only be obtained from God. It is a benefit, it is a privilege that is afforded to faith, that is, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The fruit of all the fruit that falls from the tree of the gospel is very precious, but it is by faith and by faith alone that it is accessed, that we connect with it. Therefore, being justified, being made right, that is, with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of God is our first point then here this morning. And it's the condition of man, of course, that reveals the need for and the need of this peace. Sin breeds quarrels between man and man. And of course, this again is evidenced all over our world today. We see our fellow man, we see him violating his fellow man, whether it be the murdering jihadists or whether it be a common fight and scuffle on the street between two men, two women, or whatever. Sin breeds quarrels, it breeds violence between us, ourselves, fellow men. But of course, it breeds a quarrel between us and God too. Paul will say later on in Romans chapter 8 there, he speaks of the enmity that that lies in the hearts of all of us. In Romans chapter 8 and at verse 7, he says, because the carnal mind, that's the natural mind, our natural born state and condition of mind, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, hostile to God, at war with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, which demands that we love God and love our neighbour as ourselves. Neither indeed, says Paul, can it possibly be? So there is enmity there. You see, the natural state, condition of man is one of enmity and hostility against God. And a guilty sinner and a holy God just do not mix. They are like oil and water. They cannot mix. And until we know peace with God, until that enmity is destroyed, until that hostility is laid aside at the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and peace is obtained through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his person and his work, through what he has done. He has made peace, Paul tells us in Colossians, by the blood of his cross. And it is only through his works, through his shed blood, that this peace can be made. This enmity, this hostility, this quarrel with God brought to an end, and reconciliation is made through faith in Jesus and what he has done. But of course, a world that's at war with God, and a humanity that's at war with God, how can it possibly ever know peace? This is an impossibility. The world is at war with itself. We violate and kill and destroy one another. As someone has put it, the world is going to hell in a basket. Why? Because there is no peace with God. And there can never be peace in the world as long as the world's at enmity against God. But being justified, a man, a woman, a person being justified, being made right with God by faith, that person, that man, that woman has peace with God through and only through the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. It's faith in Christ that justifies, that makes a person right. How can a person be right with God? That's a good question, one that's asked by Job in the Old Testament. How can the guilt of sin, how can this carnality, how can this enmity, this hostility, this hatred for a God of love, how can it possibly be removed and we be accounted right with God? Well, Paul answers the question quite clearly. The rest of the chapter of Romans chapter 5 you might find somewhat difficult. It would be a passage that would need to be opened up almost verse by verse to explain all the details that Paul brings to our minds throughout that chapter. But here it's very clear, it's very plain, these first two verses. A child could understand them, with a little help, of course. It's faith, says Paul, it's believing, it's trusting in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his cross work. It's that that justifies, that removes the guilt and brings us into a right standing with God, and therefore peace with God. The war is over, the quarrel is over, there's no more fighting between us and God. It's Christ, you see, who makes the way of peace, has made the way of peace. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. No one comes to the Father but by me. But such, you see, is a favorable disposition and the goodwill of God. Is it not amazing that we find this state, this condition of man, with this great need for peace, and yet he fights and he quarrels with hostility and enmity against this great and this good God, this God of love, who is of such a favorable disposition and of such goodwill towards rebels, that he is willing to, more than willing to bestow peace upon them. Is this not truly, truly amazing? But the character of this peace is, you see, this peace of which Paul speaks here, it's an end of this hostility, and we are brought into friendship, into a relationship with God, one that is of loving kindness, everlasting love and kindness. You see, God is either, he's one or the other, he can't be anything else. He's either our worst enemy or our best friend. If God is our friend, if God is for us, Paul will argue later on in Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who can be against us, he says. If God is your friend, if God is disposed towards you, friendship, loving kindness, who, I ask you, even if all the jihadists in the world were against you, it would matter not if God, if the Almighty was for you. But if he's against you, then you could not have a worse enemy, worse than any jihadist. But there is one single channel by which peace comes to a man or woman, and it's faith alone, it's believing, it's trusting in Jesus and in what he has done, not what you do or can do or cannot do. He is the peacemaker, and he is the mediator, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is our peace. God has made him such. In the 1st of Corinthians, in the next book of the New Testament, Paul there, he speaks about Christ, what he has been made to the Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ has made all these things to us. He is our peace, and he is the one who maintains that peace, keeps us at peace with God through his person, his pleasant, his wonderful person, and through, of course, his finished, his completed work on the cross. The peace of God. That's the beginning, peace with God. And when peace is made with God, then we come to know and we come to experience the peace of God, which Paul says, in Philippians, passes all understanding. It's inexplicable because it's a supernatural peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then we have, it follows on, you see, then we have access to God, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We are brought into this extremely happy state of grace, that is, of knowing God's favor, his special favor, his undeserved favor. That's what grace is. It's the revelation to us personally of God's loving kindness. And he begins to work in us, and he begins to conform us to himself and to the likeness of his Son. And that's the finished article, you see. When all is done and we depart this world into the presence of God forever, we ultimately, the purpose of God for each one of his children is that they be conformed to the likeness of his Son. But we have access, you see, by the same faith, we have peace with God, and we have access to this grace, to this happy state of loving kindness, enjoying access to, an introduction to, if you like, into the grace of God. We are not born thus. No one is born thus. No one is born in a happy state. We are all born into a state of misery. And the majority of people, it has to be said, they're born in this miserable state. They live in it and they die in it because they don't obtain this peace with God, and they don't enter into this happy state of grace. We're not born thus. In fact, the contrary, the Bible tells us we are conceived and we are born in sin and thus in misery. We must be brought into it, and the only way we can be brought into it is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings us peace with God and also access to this happy state of grace and favor. The access, you see, look at verse 2, the access, same as the peace, the access is by faith. Faith in Christ, that is. He's the author of it, and he is the principal agent through which the grace of God comes to any person, any man, or any woman. Without Christ, no one gets anything from God. All the benefits and all the privileges that come, that drop from the tree of the gospel, they are gotten through Christ and through Christ alone. No one ever got anything out of the hand of God but through Christ. He is the principal agent. By his merits, you see, by his person, his life, his death, his resurrection, by what he has done, not what we have done, for there is nothing that we can do that will ever make us right with God or give us access into the loving kindness of God in this state, this wonderful, happy state of having access to God, direct communication with God, the true and living God, the one who made the universe and everything in it, the Almighty, the Everlasting. You, tiny little you, a speck of sinful dust on the horizon of the universe, think about it, you being able to communicate with God. More than a possibility, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have peace with God, and we have this access to grace, a happy state of grace, grace and favor, by believing, by a dependence upon, by a leaving off of self and all self's works, and leaning, depending wholly upon Jesus and that which he has done, that which he has accomplished for sinners such as we. So we have access to this happy state of grace and a happy standing. This grace, verse 2, wherein we stand in grace. From that point onwards, we We stand before God by grace. We are able to stand before Him. It's a posture, you see, standing before God, you see. It's a posture that declares that we've been discharged from guilt and we are able to lift up our faces and look into the face of God without fear of condemnation, for there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, trusting in Christ Jesus. So there's progress, you see, standing, peace with God, access to God, and standing before God, because before we were unable to stand before God in our sinful state and condition, condemned and guilty before God, without hope in this world or the world to come. We wouldn't dare to make access to the presence of God. Well, we couldn't anyway, but no, we could never, in that state and condition, we could never stand before God. But now we have access into this grace which enables us to stand before God unashamed, totally unashamed. Because Jesus has taken the guilt away, He's made us clean. We are no longer defiled, cut off from God. But we are able to stand firm in this grace. You know, principled people, we stand by the principle of grace. We're upheld by the power of God's favor, you see. It's that that enables a man or woman to live. And I mean live, I don't mean exist. The power of God's favor, the power of God's grace, knowing that you have the grace, the favor of God, knowing that He smiles upon you, knowing that He is for you, empowers a person to live in a way that they never could before. Without the misery that drags them down into depression and causes them dispeace rather than peace. No, now they have the power of God's favor to enable them to stand, as it were. Which, of course, in itself is also a confirmation of God's favor, that is His grace, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's the grace of God, the wonderful free grace of God dispensed to all who believe, who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have peace with God. They have access to God into this happy state, happy standing, the grace of God. But then Paul finishes by telling us of the hope of glory. And the rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It begins, you see, with making peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, entering into a right relationship with Him, knowing, experiencing the peace of God, having access by faith into this grace that where we stand before God and are enabled to stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, whatever life throws at us. Yes, there may be, verse 3, tribulation, but tribulation that works patience in us, and patience experience hope. No one can live without hope. So many people in our world today, in many places, who are just utterly and absolutely without hope. What happens when a person is without hope? Well, they give up. They give up. Why do many people commit suicide? As many do in our modern society today. because they have no hope. They've given up hope. They have no hope. We live in a world that is full of utter hopelessness. But we rejoice. We are happy, so happy, in the hope of the glory of God. We have hope for the present, and we have hope for the future, no matter the tribulation that may come to us. It's a real, it's a sure, it's a concrete hope. But of course, there can be no hope without grace. It's the grace of God, it's the favor of God that brings us hope to us. Grace is glory begun. It's the pledge. It's the down payment. It's the guarantee of the glory to come. One day, you see, we'll be done with this world in which we have much tribulation. Jesus tells us that. He tells his disciples prior to his departure in the world, "You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We have the hope of glory, you see. One day we will step out of this world into the glorious presence of God, rather into the gloomy darkness of hell. Grace is glory begun in this world in time, and it's the pledge of glory to come. The assurance, if you like. It's the down payment, it's the seal, it's the guarantee, it's the taste of the heaven to come. And of course, this is only what God promises, is it not? In the gospel, the grace and the glory. In Psalm 84, I think it's verse 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Those who walk uprightly, of course, are those who trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, who have peace with him, who stand in grace, who have access to him. This is a gospel promise. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace is glory begun. It's the pledge of the heaven to come. And those who have entered into this rest, this peace, by faith in the Son of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, have this wonderful, joyful hope for the future. Even though there may be much tribulation, much trial and trouble in this veil of tears as they work through it, their pilgrimage, they know that the end of it is glory. Hope, you see, in the midst of trouble. Many people are downcast with trouble. Many people are pressed down with trouble in many parts of this world. And of course, it leaves them. They can see no light at the end of the tunnel. And but you see, trouble for the Christian, we are told here that It's turned into blessing because, well, God has promised, has he not, that everything, all things work together for the good of those who love him, those who have been called by him. We glory in tribulations, knowing that, well, that tribulation, it works all kinds of good things in us. It's turned into blessing, because you see, the curse has been removed. It's the curse upon the human race because of sin that brings all the trouble into the world. The source, the spring of all the trouble is man's sin, which has brought the curse of God upon him. And the only thing that can remove it is faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We still live, yes, in a troublesome world, and trouble still comes to us, but the curse has been removed for the believer. And even that trouble becomes a blessing by the grace of God. It works for our good. It produces in us patience. And of course it tries us. And more it tries us, it proves our faith is the genuine article. Because faith that's not tried is not worth a light. But when our faith is tried and tested, and maybe even sometimes severely, yes, we don't like it, yes, the flesh kicks against it, but afterwards, when our faith has been tried, and we come out of the trial the other end still believing, it brings greater assurance to us. It confirms us that our faith is the genuine article. It works. Trials, you see, works impatience in unbelief. There is no benefit. There is no benefit of trials for unbelief. They chafe and they curse and blaspheme God even more and more. They howl in God's face, why doesn't he do something about their trials or their troubles? You see, it just works more impatience in them. But for faith, you see, it produces God's consolations. It produces hope, you see, and it makes us at the end of it all, it makes us unashamed before him. So hope, you see, and no man can live without hope, as we've said. Hope doesn't deceive, it doesn't disappoint us, the hope of the gospel, I mean. It doesn't deceive us, it doesn't disappoint us, it's a sure, it's a concrete, it's a definite hope, it's the hope of glory, and we rejoice in it. The expectations of the wicked perish, the Bible tells us. They may expect great things, they may expect wonderful things, they may expect to accomplish wonderful things, but the expectations of the wicked perish. But the hope of the righteous is produces boldness, hope, sealed by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love poured into our hearts, is how Paul puts it here, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad, poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And constrains us the more and more to trust him, to love him, and to serve him. So there's the pathway, you see, from peace. Begins with peace, being justified, being made right. We lay down our weapons of warfare, our hostility, our enmity against God. We say, I've had enough of this, God. I'm laying down my weapons. And we kneel before the cross of God's Son, Jesus. And we confess our sin before him. We tell him of how we have failed to love him and serve him as we ought. And we're tired of the turmoil. We're tired of the fear and the hopelessness. And we ask him to forgive us. and to grant us his peace that passes all understanding. It begins there, you see, at the cross. You ask any Christian, any genuine bona fide Christian, ask them where it began for them, and they will tell you, every one of them, the experiences may be different, but they will tell you, all will tell you the same thing. It began beneath that cross at Golgotha, Calvary, where through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, they found peace with God. And they were brought into this happy, happy state of standing by grace before God. And in the midst of all their troubles, whatever they were, they were enabled to rejoice in this wonderful, wonderful hope that is the hope of every Christian, the glory of heaven to come, a hope for the future, hope in the midst of trouble. And all these benefits, all these privileges come to us, come to any man, any woman, through faith, believing, trusting, depending upon Jesus and what he has done. He that believeth shall be saved. Amen.